Esquire magazine has a long history of breaking journalistic rules. After all, this was the place that popularized the new journalism, in-depth, narrative-style reporting with the flair of fiction. In Esquire, you could read groundbreaking pieces by Gay Talese, Hunter S. Thompson, and Thomas Wolfe. This month, Esquire has pushed the envelope again with a piece about the final days of actor Heath Ledger. It's written from the point of view of the deceased Ledger, and it pretty much makes up all the details. A night on the town with Jack Nicholson, a last fling with a young woman. Here is the fake Heath Ledger, me reading it, talking about his breakfast. "My official last meal is a banana nut muffin. It's not even a particularly fresh one. If I could do it all over again, I'd make sure that everything I ate was an endangered animal's heart on toast with foie gras crumbles and black truffle shavings." It's an entertaining read, but completely fake. We'll talk to the editor of Esquire in a moment, but we also want to hear from you. Can you mix fact and fiction like this in order to make a point? In an age when magazines can seem predictable, do you mind them playing with the form a little, if it's entertaining? The phone number is 800-989-8255. Especially if you've read the article, we'd love to hear what you think. Send email to talk@npr.org. Joining us now from our bureau in New York is David Granger, the editor-in-chief of Esquire. Thanks for coming in.
Robert, it's great to be here.
So you call it reported fiction, which is this great term, but it's kind of highfalutin. I mean, you could also just call it, I don't know, lazy reporting, making up what you can't find out yourself. How did this come about?
I think, well, I would argue with you a little bit on the characterization of it as lazy reporting. It's actually labeled as fiction, Esquire fiction, as in the same way that we label all of our short stories Esquire fiction.
But you sent out a reporter to go find out something.
I sent out a writer. I was surprised by the sort of depth of emotion that Heath Ledger's unexpected death had caused, and so I was curious about it. I wondered what about him and what about the event had inspired so much deep feeling, and I asked a young writer I know to spend a few days looking into that, and then create an act of the imagination. And what she did was she wrote a piece of short fiction that we called The Last Days of Heath Ledger, and it sort of imagines what his last few days were from his perspective.
Well, I'll be honest with you, it is a pretty good read.
Lisa's an excellent writer.
I mean, you're wondering what's going to happen, and then you hate yourself for wondering what's going to happen because you're like, the answers will not be there. I mean, one of the joys of reading things that are filled with facts is that you can learn something. I guess I learned something maybe about myself and my own desires to read last day kind
well,
of article.
Let's talk about what the role of fiction is. I mean, Heath Ledger's death was covered to death in nonfiction means by reporters from everything from the New York Times to Us Magazine. So none of them plumbed what the mystery of Heath Ledger's death was. I mean, they reported facts, they reported speculation. There was a whole wide world of gossip you could have read about this. But so what is fiction for? I mean, I would argue that part of what fiction is for is to try to create meaning out of events that are mysterious to us. And what Lisa wrote was a piece that was both timely and, I would argue, sort of profound because it actually plumbs the nature of what it is to be famous. And it actually thought about what could cause a man who has everything to die.
Well, what did you learn from it? I mean, what do we really know about this troubled young man that we can glean from this piece of fiction?
Is that what fiction's role is? I mean, is fiction's role to answer specific questions, or is fiction's role to answer sort of larger questions, like, say, what purpose celebrity might have in our culture?
Well, that's the issue. When you take an issue that's ripped out of the news headlines, when you put the word reported in the reported fiction part, there are some expectations. Of course, it's fine for you to say, don't have those expectations. We're going to smash them around a little bit and not even tell you which parts we have reliable information on and which parts we don't. Is this an attempt to sort of make a new form?
Well, we've been trying for the last 18 months or 2 years at Esquire to do some things that will revitalize magazine fiction. I mean, there are very few magazines, commercial magazines, consumer magazines that still publish fiction, The New Yorker chief among them. And so we've been trying a number of things to get people to pay attention to fiction. And one of these things is to take stories that have been in the headlines. Like, for instance, the first example of that was we asked James Lee Burke, one of my favorite novelists, to right after, right in within days of the disaster of Katrina, to imagine his characters, all of his novels are set in and around New Orleans, to imagine what happened to his characters in the wake of Katrina. I think that's a way to get people to pay attention, because my concern and my frustration is that very few magazines still publish fiction and very few people still read fiction in magazines. So I'm trying to call attention to it, yes.
Well, I will tell you, I can't remember the last time we did a talk radio segment on a piece of fiction in a magazine, so you have succeeded on that point, at least.
Thank you.
Let's go to our callers. Steve is on the air. Steve joins us from Louisville, Kentucky. What do you think?
Hey.
What do you think, Steve?
I like the idea of a fiction in an article piece, like you're talking about the Esquire fiction. I have not read the article. I plan to. I was a fan of Heath Ledger, but I like the idea of sort of like a historical fiction, you know, like what happened and what may have happened.
Exactly. That's an excellent
point. Well, there
point.
You go. It is an established form, the historical fiction, and we don't complain about that. It's maybe that it's in an article form that sort of asks us about our assumptions about journalism.
Yeah. And you can get the facts from anything. We get facted to death with all of the, you know, all of the news sources that we're constantly bombarded with. And it's nice to think you get some of the facts of what happened and then some of the what might have this person been thinking, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've characterized this as an act of the imagination, and that's exactly what I asked Lisa Taddeo to do, was to go out and sort of try to understand what happened, what it was possible for us to know had happened, and then apply her imagination to it in the creation of a piece of fiction.
Thanks, Steve, for calling us. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's talk now with Paul. Paul joins us from Wenatchee, Washington. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I can barely hear you there.
What do you think, Paul, about this piece of reported fiction?
Well, you know, I haven't read the article, but just hearing the excerpt that you read about the endangered species hearts on toast with frog law sprinkles, you know, to me it just seems like it's kind of in poor taste to report on something that's completely false, and especially for someone who just died recently in such, you know, such a tragic way.
Yeah, would you mind if I read you guys a little something? I don't know if you know
there was a lot that could not be read on the air from
this
piece.
Actually, not from
okay,
the story.
I picked the cleanest thing I could.
Yeah, no, not from the story, but there's a blogger on BeliefNet in the idle chatter section.
Yeah, sure, love to hear.
Who kind of, I think, approached the article in the same way that Paul did, sort of thinking that he was going to be offended by it. And this is how he finished his piece. He wrote, "I was surprised to find within it a message of redemption and family values. Of course, many may argue it's too soon, and maybe I even agree. And obviously, the writer had no intention of hurting the family and loved ones who were left behind. While Ledger would undoubtedly have been unhappy at the theories and speculations surrounding his death and career, he might have found some comfort in knowing that people understood what was important to him and in knowing that his art had inspired the art of others." Now, that was one of the things that I read in the wake of this, that I thought, you know, once the person had taken the time to actually go and read the story, and it is available both in the magazine and at Esquire.com, that they kind of understood it and appreciated it and saw the potential of what art and what magazine fiction can do.
Thank you so much for calling, Paul. Let's go now to John. John is on the air from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Hi. I am just not commenting on this piece specifically, but I think this is very just emblematic of the fact that people care less and less in our society about the actual distinction between fact and fiction. If you look at the genre of like literature with these like a million tiny pieces in all these books, and we look at people like watch Fox News and CNN, and they have their chosen news sources. I really think that, you know, this caters to the fact that people are offered more and more choices of little distinction between, you know, what actually happens and what they would like to believe happens, and, you know, and their specific beliefs and prejudice. So that's just my comment.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. I think it is sort of mollified by the fact that we actually call it fiction and we present it as a short story and as a work of the imagination.
Well, you are upfront about it. John, do you think that it's a good or a bad thing that people don't care as much these days?
I think it allows them to be manipulated more easily because they are so willing to do away with the factual distinctions that they don't really like. So I think that allows a lot of these media sources and individuals in particular to have a new sense of power because they really are not forced to, you know, confront what they don't want to confront. You know, it's a new way to manifest power when you can shape the story and, you know, the way you like it to be. So
We are talking about reported fact and fiction, I guess. David Granger is editor-in-chief of Esquire magazine. You know, believe me, I love experimentation, and this article story, I guess we're calling it, really did make me think a lot about myself and my expectations for celebrities. But I just kept thinking that this is a man who just died, and his daughter lives in my neighborhood, and someday his daughter might read this and read something that is made up with made up sexual details and wonder if her father was like this. I mean, I kind of feel that once you plant these things, true or untrue, they acquire a veneer of truthfulness as the years go by. Does that bother you any?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I had not thought of that. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I think the responsibility of any writer is to look for something meaningful in the work he or she does. And that's exactly what Lisa did. I mean, I think if you read this story, and I hope many people will read it, what you find is an incredibly sympathetic portrait of Heath Ledger, a man who loved his daughter, regretted the separation from his girlfriend. And I think it's actually a very beautiful and profound piece. And I there's no part of me that can imagine that being offensive to anybody in his family.
Well, we'll have to leave it at that. I did want to note one thing and get your quick response. A news item just crossed the wires that Admiral William Fallon, who's the top U.S. military commander for the Middle East, is resigning. He was the subject of an article published in your magazine that portrayed him as opposed to President Bush's Iran policy. Did you have any idea that this would be the result of this article? We have about 30 seconds.
There was speculation that because of Admiral Fallon's opposition to going to war with Iran, that he might be pressured to resign by President Bush and Vice President Cheney. I hadn't even seen that report, so I don't know what the occasion might have been. But there was a little bit of a flap the other day when the White House was questioned. Dana Perino was questioned in a White House briefing about our story.
Yeah, well, it shows that there is still the power of fact out there. David Granger, editor-chief of Esquire magazine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow, join us for another magical hour. That's right, we're talking about the world of magicians. Join us if you've ever pulled a rabbit out of a hat. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Robert Smith.